Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. All right, there's been a lot of talk about the cicadas and how they are coming back every 17 years. I have a kind of a lovely memory of when I was a little boy in grade school chasing girls around with buckets full of cicadas, and I always found them to be very interesting. Now, a lot of people that you are hearing talk on television or radio are exterminators, and I thought maybe what we should do is talk to an entomologist that could maybe give us some insight into this bug and what purpose it serves and why they're coming out every 17 years and so on. Joining me on the phone line is Dr. Gene Kritzky, who is the Dean of the School of Behavior and Natural Sciences at Mount St. Joseph University. Dr. Kritzky, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You are also the author of really a treasure trove of books that really cover a lot of topics. I see you've written quite a few books on beekeeping and bees. And most recently, mm-hmm. you have a brand new book that just came out in 2021, the Periodical Cicadas, the Brood X Edition, published by the Ohio Biological Survey. Let's start there. Tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is basically a vehicle for people to get excited about and learn more about Brood 10. Brood 10 is the largest of all the 17-year cicada broods. It occurs over 15 states, and indeed, all that emerged this year, and turns out now we're at 17 states this year, including the District of Columbia. And a lot of what we know about periodical cicadas comes from the previous emergences of Brood 10. It was first documented in 1715. That was the first time. There have been 18 emergences in total coming up to this year. This is the 19th emergence. And so the book was designed to introduce everybody to periodical cicadas, their biology, their life cycles, their evolution, the broods, and then a detailed look at what we've learned through the Brood 10 emergences. And then following that was a listing of all the major historic records of Brood 10, where it's emerged in what states, going back to 1715.
So this bug, when it's underground, so this Brood 10 that we're speaking of, right, has been underground mm-hmm. for the past 17 years?
Yes. The eggs that were laid back in 2004 during the George W. Bush administration, they hatched in July and April of 2004, and we're now seeing the adults from that hatch.
Wow. And so for 17 years, are these bugs alive, or are they in eggs underground?
The eggs are actually laid in the terminal ends of tree branches. And in the year that they're laid, about 6 to 10 weeks after they're laid, they hatch, and the little 2 to 3 millimeter cicadas crawl out of these egg nests and these branches. They're laid in branches about the thickness of a pencil.
Right.
And they literally just drop to the ground. I've seen this. It's incredible. They drop to the ground, and as soon as they hit the ground, they want to get below the dirt because they're vulnerable to ants and beetles and spiders. And so they run down a blade of grass and get right down between where that grass blade comes up in the soil, and they feed on grass roots, sucking on grass roots for a little while. And then by New Year's Day, they are 8 to 12 inches below the surface, sucking on a tree root.
And they just spend the vast majority of their life underground, and they get to come back and see the light of day 17 years later. And then how long do they last?
Well, each cicada that comes out, if they're not eaten right away, will probably last about a month. And the total emergence takes about 6 weeks. So it's not necessarily the lifestyle I'd like to enjoy, but it suits the cicadas.
Right. And so this really, for the birds, and I mean, I'm assuming that the vast majority of these cicadas are eaten by birds. Is that correct?
They're eaten by all sorts of things. Not only a significant number by birds, yes, but I've also seen raccoons. I've seen squirrels, snakes, box turtles, rodents. eat these. My house cat loves these things. I've never seen this rather finicky eater eat so many things and stands at the door when you walk in and out trying to, will you bring me one?
Right. So this really becomes quite a food source for kind of the ecosystem that we all live in. And it has to be, we'll probably end up with some pretty fat birds and rodents and varmint out there because of this.
That's true. In fact, the Ohio Division of Wildlife has actually commented that they've seen evidence that the body weight of male turkeys taken during turkey hunting season is actually a little larger for areas that had a periodical cicada emergence earlier.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Now, other than this, how you described the eggs being laid, how the cicada drops to the ground, goes under, and then sucks on the bottom of these grass blades, does it serve any? What is the purpose of this bug?
Well, what you're asking is essentially what's its ecological role?
Correct.
And basically, if the cicadas were wiped out, our forest, eastern deciduous forest, would still be here. But they do a lot of good during the course of their life cycle. During those 17 years they're underground, they're turning over soil, just like earthworms do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not insignificant. The major contribution they make is made when they emerge as adults. And they come out of holes in the ground in their last immature stage. Those holes are in the diameter about the size of your pinky. And those holes persist for weeks. And it's like a natural aeration. Hmm. And in summers when we have a really, in the summers of an emergence here, if we have a really dry summer, of course our clay and our soil gets really hard. And so in some cases, that water will just run off the surface into creeks and so on.
Right.
Whereas in a cicada year, it can go down those holes and help water the trees. When, as you mentioned just a minute ago, when the adults come out in these big numbers, it's a food pulse that is very beneficial to all sorts of animals out there. And even, for example, we know rodents eat cicadas. And we might not want a lot of rodents, but the more rodents, the more food for owls and the raptors.
Sure.
And we've also now, I've seen videos this year from Cicada Safari about of an owl on the ground hopping around eating cicadas.
Right.
I've seen photographs now of hawks eating cicadas. So that even if you're a good predator, you might enjoy these as well. As well, if you're an owl or a hawk, you can go after the additional increase in the rodent population. So that's beneficial for those animals.
And just to put at ease, you know, a lot of people that don't like cicadas, they are harmless to humans.
Correct. They don't sting. They don't bite. They won't even carry away small children. They're perfectly safe to humans and what have you. The contribution to the ecology continues with the egg laying by the female. That sometimes causes the tree branch where the eggs were laid. It tears up some of the vascular tissue, and those leaves around there may actually wither, turn brown. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that breaks, and it looks like the tree's been hit by a hailstorm. But that ends up being like a natural pruning.
Right.
And next year's flower set could be greater than expected.
Interesting.
And lastly, when they're all done, they die. And their bodies accumulate at the base of trees. And I'm getting calls about this right now. And add a little bit to that, some nice rain and hot summer temperatures. And they produce an odor, which is very distinct. And that odor is occurring because of the decay of these millions of cicada carcasses that are out there. And that actually provides a nutrient cache that goes back into the soil around the trees that supported the cicadas for the last 17 years.
So interesting. We talked a little bit before we started, and you mentioned the book that you just wrote. That it's the only book that you wrote that's completely obsolete at the end of this Brood X, but there's also an opportunity for an update on this book. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, certainly. The book was designed to be a sort of a primer to get people excited about Brood 10, and it's a Roman numeral X. Even on my book, there's a big X on the cover, but by convention, we use Roman numerals for numbering the broods. I've been asked to actually produce an epilogue for the book that sort of sums up what we've learned from this year's emergence. And we're just beginning to get a sense of what's going to happen with this year's emergence. I've already received 500,000 photographs from people out there using Cicada Safari to help us map where this brood is.
So interesting. I know that you have a website. I know that you have a website with information on you and other books that you've written. Can you give that to our audience?
Oh, certainly. It's cicadasafari.org, and it will provide information, but fundamental information about cicadas, their life cycle, their species. It also gives you links to other websites. I've been very fortunate that a number of organizations have been helping us with the mapping efforts this year, including the Indiana Academy of Science, the Ohio Biological Survey, published the book, the University of Maryland, the University of Connecticut, cicadamania.com. Are just to name a few that are, have been actively promoting the use of the phone app, Cicada Safari, which I developed at Mount St. Joe, along with our Center for IT Engagement. And so this has been part, this is almost like a, we approach this almost like a campaign, because this is a once in a 17 year event.
Sure. Sure.
You got to get it right. We don't have another do-over next year for Brood 10.
So
I'll be 84 the next time this happens again. You know, I've got to do it right now.
Well, God willing, I'll be able to call you back, and we'll talk about that as well. Dr. Gene Kritsky, who is the Dean of the School of Behavioral and Natural Sciences at Mount St. Joseph, and he has just authored a brand-new book called Periodical Cicadas, The Brood X Edition, published by the Ohio Biological Survey. And one more time for that website if they want to learn more about you and all the different things that you have studied over the years.
Certainly. There's two in particular, but the one for the cicadas is cicadasafari, all one word, .org. And you can also go to my personal website, which is genekritsky.com.
Dr. Gene Kritsky, thanks so much for joining us on House Smarts Radio. I so appreciate it.
It's been wonderful being here. Thank you.